We have an apology from the minister who is in the cabinet. We also have an apology from the deputy minister who is having an apology from Inkosi Cebekhulu and an apology from Mr. Mafanya, who has a doctor's appointment. Those are all the apologies.
Okay. Now, colleagues, these are the apologies. Is there no objection to us accepting the apologies?
No problem.
No problem. They've been accepted. All right. Thank you very much. Without much ado, let me welcome the Director General of the Department of Military of the Department of Military Veterans, as well as the team that is accompanying her today. May I invite her to take us through the first presentation? There are about three presentations, and so the second presentation is about 10 slides or so. May I invite you to take both presentations, one after the other, and then we'll have the discussions afterwards before we take the last presentation. Over to Director General.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to the Chair and good morning to the members. Just to apologize that my laptop has got challenges. I'm using a risk manager's laptop. But we are ready, Chairperson, to come in. Mr. Siango is going to do the first presentation. Mr. Siango?
Good morning, Chairperson and members, and good morning, DG. Let me just share the presentation.
Good morning, Mr. Siango.
Is the presentation visible, Chairperson?
Yes, it is.
Okay, then. Basically, this is the structure of the presentation, and I will try and go through the first few slides quicker. Those are just generic slides that talk about the department, so that I can get basically to the matters that we want to present to the portfolio committee in terms of the quarter four performance of the department. Then, in terms of the financial, in summary of the financial information for quarter four. I must indicate that maybe just upfront, Chair, that this is quarter four, but what you begin to see now is that it's not audited quarter four, but you might see a slightly different picture when we present the annual report, I think in a few weeks' time. In terms of the performance of the department financially. But maybe the start is to indicate that for the year 2021-22, the department, as part of the government's budget adjustment, we lost as a department around 50 million rands, which revised then our budget from 654 to 607 million rands. But then, as at quarter four, we had spent 85% of that 607 million, which then is categorized into these various segments. That the cost of employees is about 47% of that. And maybe the important one is around, the transfers and subsidies, which normally talks to most benefits, which is about 25% of that, which is around 129 million. Then one of the issues that we've always been raising as a department throughout, I think, the past financial year.
But before that, Mr. Sengo, you say that these are the unaudited financials.
For quarter four, yeah.
But these are cumulative spending.
Correct, yes, Chairperson.
Spending, yes. And but you by now have the audited financial report. You should be giving us the exact figures as at the end of, I mean, these were done long time ago. You now have the audited. So you don't want to be taken by surprises when we receive the annual report.
Correct, Chairperson. So you would wonder then, because
So in other words, what was your closing balance at the end of the financial year?
The CFO is also present in the midst. She can come in onto this slide.
Maybe later, let's allow him to continue. She was presenting with the actual figures. You may go to the next slide. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Chairperson, is one of the issues that we've always, I think, reported on in this platform, Chairperson, has been, our failure to deal with, or our challenges around, supply chain management. And basically, I think one of the things that we've been directed to do by the portfolio committee was to immediately implement the logging system. So I can happily report or report that we are, Chairperson and members, that in the process of implementing the logging system. The issues around capacity in that environment are being resolved now, where we have put some more capacity. And I think the issue that we had a challenge with around separation of duties has been partially resolved, in the sense that we got more capacity in the SAM environment to assist us with that. If you were to look at Chairperson, which is what we are going to be reporting on when we do the annual report in terms of the audit outcomes, the department is beginning to improve on issues of internal controls. And as a result, because of the issues that we're beginning to resolve on issues of capacity in that environment, I think it's quite an important progress going forward, Chair. Then when we then look at the slide on benefits, we see that we spent 98% of what was allocated towards benefits, which is the budget was at 308,911,000. And the department spent 302 million of that amount, and into these various categories. Where we note it's always been a challenge or an observation that we've made is that healthcare always at the end of the financial year would always have pressure costs around that particular benefit because of the demand around that particular benefit. Because what we see is that, there is a demand for it. And also what we began to see in 2021-22 financial year was also the cost pressure around the burial support. Where I think in that year we buried many military veterans. And then when we then look at the classification, economic classification, on compensation of employees, we spent less. But however, I need to caution there that we spent less because we, in the last financial year, we had a couple of vacant posts in the department, especially at the senior management level, the ones that now we are filling. So, you know, I think most of that then, the relief from the compensation of employees was around those vacant posts. But however, in our discussions with National Treasury recently, we are already beginning to see that if we begin to fill those positions, as we fill those positions as such, we foresee a pressure in terms of compensation of employees going forward, and it's something that we have noted together with National Treasury. But we will continue, of course, to monitor it together with Treasury, that so that we don't go over the ceiling that has been set out by National Treasury. Then when we look at then the performance in terms of the department for quarter four, maybe let me focus there for now. I will go to the other quarters. We had achieved 47% of what we had planned for, meaning that we had planned for 17 targets and we achieved 8 targets in quarter four. Slight improvement, Chair, when you look at the average over the past three quarters, where the department on average has been performing at 38%. So, and we have made a comparison here in terms of each of the quarters, how the department has fared in each of the quarters. And then this is just a graphical representation of what has been happening, where I've indicated that for quarter four, it's 47%, and administration branch achieved 75%. The socioeconomic support branch, which has most of the benefits, achieved 43%. The empowerment and stakeholder management branch achieving 33%. In this branch, Chair, I must indicate that there's been a lot of capacity challenges. However, we foresee now there's been a lot of focus in the implementation of the current APP on the activities of the economic and on ESM branch, on issues of training, on issues of memorial sites. And also we know for sure that on improvement in terms of business support and placement of military veterans, we have been really, I think when we reported last year we were really focusing on putting together partnerships, relevant partnerships that will help us then to deliver on some of these things. Now in this particular financial year, we are busy now implementing unlocking or working on those partnerships to implement all those MOUs that we were busy putting in place in the previous financial year. And then this is just a graphical representation in terms of trend analysis. I think it just talks to what I spoken to in the last slide for the past, for the four quarters. Then when I then go to specific programs, I think, Chair, if you allow me, I will probably just try and focus on areas where we have not really done very well, in areas where there are red marks. The issue of PPI 201, where we are saying that here the the target or the indicator has been to the number of approved NEN statutory forces received from the verification panel for inclusion in the database.
Chairperson. Chairperson.
Yes, sir.
I'm checking if maybe it's only my side that I can't, I mean, it's like there's a cutting off from the presenter. I don't know whether it's my side.
I think it's your side, Mr. Scheller, but please attend to it. There's no disruption from our side, from at least on my side.
Yeah, because I can hear you very well, very, very well. So, but...
very clear, Scheller.
Yeah, very, very clear. So that's why now I'm checking whether... If I can, then I don't know what's up.
Yeah, I think it's your gadget and your network, Mr. Shalem. Thank you so much. You may continue.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. Here, the target chair was 3,000, but then when we reported here, we realized that, you know, the information or the way the target was put here when we're doing the 2021-22 APP was not, you know, well captured, because the thinking here, Chairperson and members, was that the verification panel was going to be processing 3,000 files for the year. However, the files that were going to be received for inclusion into the database was never going to be 3,000. As we begin to see that, you know, the people that pass the verification process is way, way less than what but now when you look at what we've done for the APP 2022-23, we've divided this particular indicator into two indicators. The one that talks to exactly the numbers that we are going to be capturing in the database of NSF members that have passed, and also now the normal process of, you know, inclusion of military veterans who just come through the gate of the department and want to be included into the database. So we have captured that correctly. And then the issue of the housing, this has been a challenge, Chairperson and members, and to the extent that there's been an intervention even at the level of the ministry, where now we understand that the deputy minister is busy doing roadshows with provinces to try and identify exactly where these challenges are, what is it that needs to be unlocked, so that we are able then to deliver on this particular you know benefit for military veterans. I know that DM has been to Limpopo, has been to Eastern Cape. I think he was also planning to go to Northern Cape and KZN. So there are those kind of interventions, Chairperson, just to try and really unlock the challenges around the housing benefit. And then these are just some of the comments. I think some of these comments I've mentioned as part of the presentation. I will not spend much of the time on this, Chairperson. I think as I was presenting, I did indicate that there is a verification panel that continues to verify military veterans. We then continue to capture those that have passed. And however, there's also a second process of those military veterans that are not NSF members, that just walk through the department looking for to be registered in the database. So that is SF members. So I think the report here is that more than 1,000 new military veterans were registered in the past financial year, those that just walk into the department. So, then when we look then at the pension, we know that we were expected to, we had promised that we are going to do a pilot in the past financial year, but we then were redirected to implement this particular benefit from the 1st of April. I think We got approval from the presidential task team around May for the policy itself, and then we have since received a letter from National Treasury for the department to put in place regulations for the implementation of this benefit, and we have then done the drafts and the draft regulations, which we are now taking them through the consultation process. We are really pushing as hard as we can to get those draft regulations through the legislative process so that we are able to implement this particular benefit. A budget has been set aside, Chairperson, for this financial year for us to be able to implement. And the target that we are planning for this particular financial year is about 2,000 military veterans, and that has been budgeted for. But of course, the numbers we anticipate that going forward will rise, but this is basically the target for quarter four was to have that particular policy approved, but it was only approved in May, which is quarter one of this financial year. Similarly to the transport benefit, we did not achieve here. We are now similarly, lessons that we learned from the process that we did with the pension benefit to get the policy approved, we are following a similar approach. And firstly, for quarter four, we did not achieve what we were supposed to achieve. We were also targeting to have a pilot project. But now, because we could not have the policy in place at the right time, we are now in this financial year developing a strategy. We are going to be consulting with the relevant stakeholders in the transport sector to assist us really to understand, what is it that we need to do to get military veterans on. I think one of the issues here that has been raised throughout the consultations that we've had recently was that we need to have a way of identification for military veterans, which is something that we are currently discussing in the department. But we will happily, I'm sure, report some progress when we present a quarter one report, of the department. Then healthcare services. Here again, this benefit, Chairperson, it's in demand. We know that it's in demand, every financial year there's always pressure as such for us to put more money into the healthcare benefit. But I think here, Chairperson, one of the issues that we have been directed to do by the portfolio committee is to look at other options in terms of, I think the question kept has always been raised to say, other than the 1 mil hospitals or the Department of DOD hospitals, why don't we look at a model where military veterans will be able to be prioritized or will have access in areas where they stay, in hospitals, in public hospitals where they stay. So these are the kind of things that we have also been discussing with the ministry in terms of getting assistance to talk to various provinces. It's part of the roadshows or the discussions that the deputy minister is having, with the provincial embassies, to see how we can then unlock and ensure that military veterans are serviced in areas where they stay. And even in terms of specialized care, I know that it always comes up. We look at then at how can we ease, the approval processes and access for military veterans that require, special care. And then when we look then at the last program, before I stop, Chair. The issue of memorial lectures, we did not meet what we had planned to do for quarter four. We had planned just for the year, the target was 10 memorial sites, and we had planned to do four in quarter four, and we're not able to do any memorial lecture in that particular quarter. So it's something that we're improving on again in this financial year. I think already in the department, I think we've had about three or four memorial lectures in quarter one of this financial year. So these lessons learned really from non-performance around this area, I think which is really leading in terms of getting us to deliver on this in this particular financial year. And then the other one was the issue of skills development. What has happened here, Chair, quarter four, you will see in the annual report, Chairperson, that we have overachieved around this area, because at the time when we were doing the quarter four consolidation, we still had not yet consolidated on, especially on the ICT program, but the numbers based on that program have changed in terms of the annual target that we had planned for. We had planned for 1,000. I think we have overachieved on this particular one. You would see in the annual report, there is an achievement, an overachievement on the number of military veterans and their dependents that have been approved for skills development program. And the placement, veterans that are placed in employment, again, as I indicated earlier on, that we spent much of I think late the second part of the last financial year dealing with issues of forming partnerships with relevant state organs. We're looking at PRASA, we're looking at SANParks, we're looking at these various state organs that we have been talking to. We anticipate that going forward in this financial year, we should be able then to place veterans. Already in PRASA, in the Western Cape, there are veterans that have been placed. I think it's 146 veterans that have been placed as security officers in PRASA. So we're looking at those kind of partnerships. And I think as part of continuing the work that we have done, informing those kind of partnerships in the second part of late last year, we should be able then to achieve something on this one. And then also with the memorial sites, we have been working with, I know that there's a forecast program that we are attempting to deliver on before quarter two, which is going to be one memorial lecture for now, which tends, because we have not really delivered on this particular indicator, I think, in the past 3 years in the department. So we are looking now at a practical kind of, examples or activities that we can do with our partners. I think the model that UTT has introduced in terms of working with partners is going to help us really to deliver on some of this. So, and then these are just steps, Chair, I will not go through them in terms of HR in the department. As I indicated, that we are now in the process of filling posts. We had advertised for the two, I think, DDG posts, socioeconomic support and corporate services, which is now being shortlisted. Also, some director posts, I think there were shortlisting that happened over the past 2 months or so. And also, even at an entry level, the chairperson and members, what we have done at an entry level is that we, because we have many contract workers, some of those positions were advertised internally. In fact, most of them were advertised internally in the department so that we are able to absorb then the contract workers that have been with the department for some time. I think I would like to stop there for now, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Can we get the figures, the updated final figures on the expenditure side? Yes, I can see you.
Yes, good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members of the Portfolio Committee. I would like Mr. Siyango to just project the slide that spoke about finances so that I can just take the meeting through the actual expenditure as at year end. Thank you, Mr. Siyango. What I can confirm, Chairperson, from this slide is that as at year end, we had a budget of 607 million and we have spent 515 million out of the 607, of which we did not spend about 91 million. And that is equivalent to 85% of our overall expenditure towards our entire budget. And Chairperson, I just also wish to confirm that we have been audited against our budget and we have received an unqualified audit opinion for the 2021-22, which is the same audit opinion that was received at least in the past 3-4 years. In the department. We have made, there's been some noticeable improvement, Chairperson, in terms of internal controls, especially in the area of fruitless as well as irregular expenditure, in the sense that you would recall, Chairperson, that we had a couple of irregular contracts in the past, which we're continuously using, even though they were not necessarily procured regularly. So one of the strides that the department has done is to enter into regular contracts to address the issues of irregular expenditures and also manage the fruitless and wasteful. So there's no major fruitless or irregular expenditure incurred in the financial year. Instead, there's a big reduction as a result of entering into regular contracts within the financial year. And basically, that was mainly what was affecting the audit, and also the issue of.
So what is a regular contract?
We had an irregular contract on Tuesday. Chairperson, which we have been using over a number of years, of which we have addressed that by entering into, in fact, piggybacking or participating into a regular contract now with one of other national departments, while we are advertising for our own travel agency contract. So that has assisted us, Chairperson, to do away with a lot of irregular expenditure that we would have incurred had we continued to use the same irregular contract. So that is one of the really big strides that we have done to address the challenges in relation to irregular expenditure.
So what is irregular? A regular contract is the name of a consultant, or you are saying you regularized all the irregular contracts?
We regularized the travel, traveling services contract by participating into a regular contract with, the Department of Employment and Labor's contract, which is the name of the travel agency. There is the Tovest Travel Agency, which is mainly a travel agency of the Employment and Labor, which was audited before we participated and was found to be regular. And then we also requested, obtained approval to participate on a regular contract, which then assisted us to do away with TWF, of which we had challenges, you know, in terms of the audit using them.
It's okay, thanks.
That's basically that.
Okay. You then can take the second presentation before we take a discussion on both presentations.
Thank you, Chairperson. The second presentation, Chairperson, talks to the issue of facilities management in the department. That is talking to the offices, both the DMV headquarters and provincial offices. So basically, let me start with the headquarters, the building in Hatfield, which we had reported at some point that the term or the lease had expired in 2018, and we have been on a month-to-month contract with DPW and the service provider. However, we then wanted to get out of that because the lease had expired. And again, secondly, the building that we are at Hatfield currently was, you know, deemed not to be suitable for the services that we provide. There were issues of, occupational health and safety, that employees at some point raised. So we have then been engaging the DPW to assist us to find a new home for the department out of that building. The process has really been taking slow. We have, discussed this at length at an official level. We've escalated the matters to the accounting officers of the two departments. We have reported also the matter to the ministry in terms of the delays that we have experienced, to the extent that we intensified our engagements with DPW in this year, where we have been having bilateral meetings on a monthly basis to get a sense of where they are in terms of the process. Up to this stage, Chair, in July, that is last month, where we received now a project execution plan in terms of how then they're going to assist us to move to an alternative building. They've also identified the empty Prasa building in Hartford, which is not far from where we are now. And they've provided us with a plan that seeks to have us moving there around November of this year. So there is a plan that they've put in place in terms, because they need to also to follow processes, supply chain processes for them to procure that particular building, which talks to also approval by National Treasury. So they've given us up until November, where they anticipate that all those processes will be completed. Then in terms of provinces, these are the provinces that we have offices in. The lease for Northwest ends in 2026, and the lease for Eastern Cape, we normally, when then these leases expire, we normally look for this 5-year extension. But for Eastern Cape, we looked only at an interim for a short-term expansion of that particular lease, because when we visited those offices to do an inspection, we realized that the center itself, where the offices are, is being turned into a student accommodation. So we got a bit worried that we needed to ensure that the environment where military veterans are being served, it's a conducive environment. So we are in the process of engaging DPW and the service provider just to understand, you know, whether there's going to be an alternative door, or how is the access going to be to the offices, instead of, you know, using the same access as the students. So hence we opted for an interim, extension. And then Mpumalanga, that lease also, Mpumalanga government, in Mpumalanga, they are doing government precincts, where instead of renting out buildings, they've opted to build, government buildings. So they've included our requirements as part of that. So hence also here, we've only opted to do a short-term extension here, because we anticipate, or we hope that we are going to get a space in those areas. Free State, the lease has been extended to 2025, or the lease is in place until 2025. Western Cape, the lease is in place until 2025. Northern Cape, the lease is in place until 2025 also. And then KZN, as at February of this year, managed to procure a building in CBD KZN, CBD Durban. We were busy now with installations. I think colleagues should be able to move in next month into that building, because we needed just to resolve the issue of security and also biometrics and also cleaning services. So we are sharing that particular building with the Department of Social Development. And in Limpopo, there was an advert by DPW for our offices. However, the shortlisted buildings, when we inspected them, they were really not suitable for what we wanted. So the tender was then cancelled and was again put out on tender. So we have not yet had any feedback in terms of when the bid evaluation committee is going to sit in that particular region. Also, Johannesburg, we sat in the bid evaluation committee last month, and then we have since received communication that we must just confirm the budget. I think they sent that communication last week from the Joburg Regional Office. So we are moving ahead in securing an office in Joburg CBD. That's going to serve Gauteng province. And then we really have been, Chairperson, engaging DPW, as I indicated, that we have intensified our engagement with them because we realize that, you know, waiting for feedback does not really help us. So we have these standing meetings where we meet on monthly basis with them just to get a sense in terms of, you know, what is it that they are doing, how far is the process, and what are the challenges that they are experiencing. And when we feel that at an official level we are stuck, we normally escalate those meetings into the meetings of the accounting officers, of which those meetings are normally, I think the last one was in, I think, April. They are on needs-based basis when we see that at our level that we are really stuck. So we have intensified those engagements with them. And furthermore, I think one of the issues that in the provinces, provincial coordinators of the department had raised was the issue of connectivity, of which we have been really struggling to get connectivity. So what we have done now as an interim measure, all the provincial offices now have Wi-Fi. They are able to access Wi-Fi in their offices so that if they need them to do services, provide services, or connect to the outside world, they are able to do so. And we have provided them with printing services. I think the only challenge is the Northern Cape province, where there was some delay in actually delivering that particular service. But we are working on that particular one, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, colleagues. We have received these two presentations that discuss. Thank you very much, DJ, for the presentations. Let me check if I do share. Can I ask two questions before I recognize the colleagues on the screen? One, you did not have an audit committee, and you promised that you would have it appointed before the end of the, I can't remember what you said when you wanted to appoint it. So now we can see that the year is drawing to a close, yet we have not had any report on the audit committee members, one. And two, what is your staffing norm in all these offices? We don't want to sign up lease and end up with unmanned offices. In other words, ghost offices. And then thirdly, the short-term lease, what do you mean by short-term lease? Are you saying you are going to be on a month-to-month for a period of 2 years, or you entered into a new lease agreement? And if the answer is positive, does that comply with the procurement procedures, as it were? I would want just to leave it at that. Let me recognize the other hands. So I'll take Dr. Basopi first, Shelembe, and Mutle in that order. And just, these are the three hands. Yeah. It's Dr. Basopi, Mr. Shelembe, Mr. Mutle, in that order, please.
Thank you.
You have disappeared, Doc. I also do not see Thabo as well. Oh, yes, Thabo, Mr. Mutle? The doctor has disappeared.
Thanks, Chair.
Yes.
Good morning to everyone on the platform. Chair, it's not necessarily a new question. Probably it's a follow-up question on the question that you raised initially when the DG was expatiating on the irregularities and of a contract around their travel agency, where she indicated that they are piggybacking and got approval. I just want to find out the process of approval. Where did they, how did they undertake that so that tomorrow we are not surprised if it comes up as an irregular again, if processes were not followed to the latter to ensure that you don't just abandon a contract because it's irregular and you have not necessarily followed the process to terminate that that contract and jump to another one without a process. So, because seated where I'm seated, I'll be corrected. It's like they have got a contract which is identified as irregular and a contract which is identified as an irregular does not necessarily mean that you don't have a contract with those people unless you have terminated that particular contract and opted for another option which she explained, but if she can expatiate on what process have they undertaken to legitimize them piggybacking, because we know these processes sometimes are demanding and tedious, and if you don't follow them to the latter, it becomes a problem again when the AG comes back. Secondly, Chair, you on the issue of leases, so forth and so on, I think they have expatiated on that. But you have asked a very important question as to what is their structural intent or organogram in all those offices, so that those offices, they don't just procure them, and we don't know how many people are going to occupy them, and what is their plan to cascade, to have a footprint at the level of municipalities where military veterans reside, so that the question of accessibility is also addressed in that particular process of dealing with provincial visibility, so forth and so on. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Mr. Shelembe, Dr. Pasopu, I've swapped you with Thabo Mutle, so I'll come back to you after Mr. Shelembe.
Okay, Chairperson, thanks. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, because of the network, challenge on my side, I didn't hear well. I'm trying to check. DG is not in the meeting today. I'm just checking with you, Chair. Is the DG in?
The DG is in the meeting, Chair. Mr. Shalem, sorry.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Chairperson, I must first start raising an issue that relates, to the problem that we are having in the DMV. Chair, I appreciate that the department has embarked on an initiative of getting the provincial offices to get active and work for the people, whilst I mean others I mean, are still not, but there is something that is being done. Chairperson, my concern is when it comes to the issue of communication with the department. Now, I think, I mean, these offices are meant to ensure that, I mean, people are able to communicate with the department in order for them to get their entitled benefits. But the chair, the challenge that I have is that the DG, I mean, gave us, I mean, I think the numbers that the military veterans must use, I mean, when they apply or they follow up, I mean, their submission or applications. I had the problem, Chairperson, that, I mean, I gave, I mean, those numbers to some of who were asking, and they phoned, I mean, those numbers, not one number, those numbers, on numerous occasions, and there were no answers. And then I had, I mean, to try myself to call, I mean, those numbers. Those numbers kept on ringing, nobody was answering. Now, I took initiative, I mean, to write to the DMV director to say, look, this is the challenge that we have. Please, can you help? The response I received, I think I wrote to her, I mean, it was on the 2nd of June, 2022. And on the 3rd of June, I mean, she responded saying that, can you give your contact, I mean, details so that I can come back to you? And then I gave, I mean, those, my contact numbers. But on the 29th of June, I had still not received any response from her from the 2nd of June. And then I had to write another, a follow-up letter to the Director General. And from the 29th to today, the 31st of August, I have not heard anything from the Director General. Now, that tells me that, I mean, we are talking here, but the leader in the department that we are having a hope that will assist in promoting and ensure that, I mean, military veterans are being attended accordingly. Now, this is not happening. As I'm saying now, it's the 31st of August from my letter of the 2nd of June, but I have not heard anything from the Director General. It's very, very worrisome. Chair, I mean, I think maybe today, if maybe that can be clarified in your presence, Chair, if it is wrong, I mean, to communicate or write anything to the Director General, so that, I mean, I don't feel like, I mean, undermined, because it means now, how do I respond if you say the DMV is not entertaining or not answering the calls, if the even the head of department cannot, I mean, answer my call or respond to my concern. The second one, Chair, I think the issue of the pension rollout, Chair, is very, very disturbing, because I did raise that, I mean, before, that, I mean, it was, I mean, wrong, and it was misleading that the deputy president, I mean, when he came leading the presidential task team, had to go out and tell the people that the pension, I mean, rollout will commence. I mean, I think it was early in June. But to date, it has not. But what we are hearing now is that there is an issue of the regulation, I mean, to be looked at or considered. Now, what do we tell the people that the deputy president in public said this thing will be rolled out on that day? It means now, how do we tell the people? I think, Chair, this cannot be taken for light, because we are speaking about the lives of the people. If we speak of the pension, people are without food right now. If we speak of the issue of, I mean, health, I mean, benefits, people do need that. So, Chair, I think, I mean, we need, I mean, to see whether the department, because anyway, the statement was issued by, I mean, the deputy president, but it is affecting us, because the message set out, it's like we are not doing our work, because the president said it will be rolled out. But now, let's say now, I'm not sure when these regulations, I mean, will be finalized. It may happen that maybe even this will take maybe up until next year with these regulations not being, I mean, if maybe you can get the time frames, when can we see these regulations being, I mean, adopted, so that, I mean, the rollout can commence. Chairperson, another issue that, I mean, I'm looking at. Well, I mean, one may try to understand, but if the budget, I mean, was reduced, I mean, from 654 to 600,000 million, I mean, 654.3 million to 607 million, and we can't even, afford, to use, the budget and make sure that it is used. The issue of, the lodges system, I heard that, the issues are being resolved, right now. But I believe maybe if they can give us the time frame, when can we see the lodges system, working instead of fines are being resolved. But when are we going to see it working in such a manner that we do not have any problem with the issues of the non-compliance to the 30, days, issue of, the invoice. So the issue of the vacant, position, yes, I'm hearing that, things are being done, this and that are being done. But I'm worried, Chair, if now there is a concern from the National Treasurer that, there is an issue about the staff establishment, financing that, if they want to implement that, but there is, I think there is something like the financing of those positions are like now a problem if I listened properly. So now, how come that the staff establishment was approved without getting a concern from the National Treasurer that is going to afford to pay, for that staff establishment? Chair, I think, the issue of, the criteria, Chair, I heard that, the issue when it comes to the employment of the creation or placement of military veterans to employment, it is happening. And some areas we mentioned that some of the military veterans have been put on, have been placed on employment. But if maybe I can get the criteria that is used, place these military veterans, because, there is an issue between like the South African military, something like that, forgive me, those associations that are working with the military veterans. If, we can get the clarity, who, how, the criteria is very, very important so that, some people are not left out. We don't want the criteria that, will prioritize others over others. So, Chair, the issue of the offices, as I said, thank you very much. But, Chair, I would appreciate if these offices will do the work and offices will be able to answer even the telephones when it goes to the offices, the proper management. Lastly, I again request that the Director General must lead by example, unless if maybe I'm wrong to say, if I'm asking some information from her. But being undermined like that, Chair, I'm very, very disappointed, and I don't know. I'll take, any response if maybe I was wrong to write a letter to the Director General. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shalembe. Dr. Pasopu.
Once again, thank you very much, Chairperson. Maybe my apologies from the glitches that I'm experiencing from my side. I really don't know what happened. I was just cut off the system, but however, I'm back. So in appreciating the two presentations, one, I think the first question that I had has been covered by the DG, because I was interested on the audit outcome of the Auditor General in their report, though we're still going to get that report. But the indications are that they obtained an unqualified, so I'm happy with that. Then the second point, Chair, in the presentation, there is from DG, there is a mention of underspending of 91%. 91 million. Sorry, 91 million. Though the word that was used was not underspending. I can't remember, but in my view, in essence, that is an underspending. I just want to check the reasons for that, because in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, the underspending and overspending in a department is a financial misconduct. And then secondly, on the same vein, what are the remedial action to avoid that going forward in future, that kind of underspending? Then the third point, Chair, is around the question of partnering. I think as the committee, we appreciate that the department is busy with that kind of a program. But I would advise that the partnering should not be looked at only at national and provincial departments. I think the municipalities as well should be considered, because I know for a fact in our situation where I'm based, that is East London, there are programs within Buffalo City Metro in regards to military veterans. But my worry is the coordination of those programs with the actual department, which is DMV, to ensure that at the end of the day they make impact in this veterans. Someday they should consider that as well, the ease of partnering. Then the last point is on facilities. On facilities, especially when it comes to HQ office space, for me this process is very slow, because we're not getting this for the first time. When we visited those offices, we got this and we made recommendations, because it was clear that the department has got serious problems as far as the question of facilities are concerned. Perhaps if we can get a clarity exactly where is the problem, because at the end of the day, we are expected, even ourselves as the committee, to advise and assist if it comes to a push. But of course, we must know exactly where is the problem. Then the last point, Chair, is on the comments of the member before me. Perhaps, Chair, you need to assist us from your office as well, in as far as protocols are concerned. How do we communicate, we as ordinary members of the committee, with the department? I don't have any problem with in as far as ourselves and the ministers. We are clear, because the act is clear that they must be visible, they must be accessible, and all those things. But when it comes to the officials, how are we supposed to communicate with the officials as members of the committee in terms of protocols? Maybe you can assist us on that as well from your office, Chair. But at the end of the day, we don't experience what has been experienced by this honorable member. Thank you very much, Chair. So far, those are the points I'm raising. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pasopo. Mr. Mabel.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much for the presentation. My apologies. I just want to emphasize two aspects that have been mentioned. The one is the pensions. The other one is the health care. Now, both are of critical importance to our military veterans, especially in tough economic times where we live in now. So my request is that we get absolutely regular feedback on when the pensions will be paid out and starting to be paid out, and the progress in that regard. And then secondly, with regards to access to health at provincial hospitals and at clinics for our military veterans. With the high fuel prices and the taxi prices, they just cannot afford traveling from Limpopo to one military hospital, and the same with other areas to three and to two hospital and to two military hospitals. That's just totally unfair and totally unacceptable. So I want to applaud those initiatives. However, we know it's coming on for a very, very long time, and we have to bring that to a conclusive end to make sure that our military veterans are treated with respect and the dignity that they deserve. Thank you very much.
All right. Colleagues, I think I've exhausted all the hands. Let me now hand over to the Director General. Okay, over to you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to the Chair and the members. We have received the questions, and in some instances is areas where we need to ensure that we accept the comments and take them as matters that we need to follow up and work on. and we will be able to answer in that manner. Chairperson, on the issue of the audit committee, the department submitted all the necessary files, and the final, of course, will have to be coming through from the ministry. We have not received that outcome from the ministry at the moment, but in terms of the processes that the department had to follow in ensuring that the audit committee has been appointed and has been brought forward, have been done. We will advise as soon as we receive the outcomes from the Office of the Ministry. That is in relation to the audit committee. The issue of the staffing norms, indeed in the provincial offices, Chairperson, we have a norm that we usually have a plus minus a complement of five people, and the appointments are at a deputy director level. Those are the people that heads the office and would have an administrator and some support staff. As we are beginning a journey of capacitating those offices, that is the route that we are taking to ensure that the offices that have been opened are capacitated, but also technologically supported is necessary. As the member has indicated, that some of the people are coming far away, they need to ensure that they are services are met in these offices. We are doing both things to capacitate offices in terms of human resource and also in terms of ensuring that the necessary ICT is also installed. And the team, of course, needs to be a combination of a team from our department and the team from SICA. We have put up those teams that firstly have done the assessment, and then secondly they're busy implementing. The tools of trade are also crucial in terms of ensuring that those offices are working. And the members and the chair are aware that tools of trade in this area, issues like printers, we are usually not buying them. There's a contract that we have that we will be dispensing them to the offices, so that there's been a contract also that deals with maintenance at the same time, as the department does not have those expertise. So we have taken to consideration those areas to ensure that the offices are fully functional. It is a journey in progress, and the department and the colleagues from these components are aware, and they are working on these matters. We have received some complaints that some of the offices are not functional, and we have sent out some teams from ICT to go and assess and be able to fix the matters as a matter of urgency. We are very much appreciative to the members who have come to us and told us about the challenges in provincial offices. The department's mandate, of course, is to make sure that services are delivered to the military veterans where they are. And we are making sure that we are following also the instructions from the ministry to ensure that we capacitate these offices and they are working. And it's a journey, Chairperson, and the members that we are traveling, but we appreciate and we have noted where there's been offices that are closed and no one is there, and we would follow up on those matters. Secondly, Chairperson, the PTT rounds that we have been doing have also been helpful to ensure that our offices are also active, and we have made several trips around the country, and we've also seen with our own eyes what is going on in those offices through this journey of the presidential casting roadshows. So we are in touch, Chairperson and members, with what is going on the ground. We want to say we'll continue to take the comments that are made by the members and continue to implement them. It is not a once-off thing. We are not saying we're perfect yet. We are also benchmarking, of course, with other departments who have provincial offices. It's not only DMV that has got provincial offices. We're also benchmarking with other departments. The member also raised a very important thing to say, how are we working with the municipalities? It is important, Chairperson, to also raise that through these provincial roadshows, there's been an emphasis of municipalities to have desks that are dealing with military veterans challenges. And also the provinces have put up MECs, the task teams, whereby the military veterans are also catered for in those inter-ministerial task teams that are in the provincial structures. And there's in each and every province a military veteran desk in the office of the Premier. We will see improvements, Chairperson, as the time goes in terms of the coordination of the work of the military veterans. That has to do with the staffing of these offices. The issue of the other list, I'll leave that to Mr. Siango, the short-term leases and other issues. I would love to go back to the issue of the pension that has been raised by most of the members. Chairperson and the members, from the departmental side, we have worked out everything that was requested by Treasury after the pronouncement, because the pronouncement is made and we need to make sure that the pronouncement is within the prescripts of us being able to deliver that particular pronouncement. So we are following the pronouncement and making sure that we align it with the prescripts. One of the things that came up was for us to develop a regulation for us to be able to present the pension to the beneficiaries. At the moment, the regulations and the policies have been done. We are taking the routes that it takes to present these policies to the structures, and including the clusters. We have already received a date to go to the cluster, which is the 27th of September, to take all of our documents in relation to the pension. And after the cluster meeting, we'll definitely be taking the route that is going to the cabinet. Of course, the whole route will pass to the portfolio committee as well, and it will also have to be endorsed by the ministry. So we have that journey, which is not much that we need to do now. I think we've cut and done a lot of things that were necessary in terms of following the prescripts after a pronouncement. And we were careful not to jump any process, as it will be going to cabinet and will be questioned if we jump the processes. So we want to say to the member, we are head on heels to ensure that this pension is delivered within this financial year, and it's also been budgeted within the budget of this financial year. I hope I'm helping in this area. And in relation to the healthcare, we took the comments from the members that we're saying we need to explore other avenues, and the officials are currently exploring how we can be able to use the provincial hospitals, as the member have raised that to come to the 1 million hospitals is quite a mammoth task, and the officials are busy going out now to ensure that they explore which other strategic provincial hospitals that we can be able to form partnerships with. And when they come back, we are going to write to the Department of Health nationally to be able to have a partnership with those strategic provincial hospitals. And you find that in some provinces, there's a couple of provincial hospitals, but the officials are going out to see which one can we be able to take, which is much more central. If you go to the province like Eastern Cape, there's about 3 to 4 provincial hospitals. And again, we just need to make sure that we are able to identify the one that can be of reach for our military veterans. That is where we are in terms of the access to hospitals. It was mentioned to us in the past by the member, and this is what we've taken up to ensure that we can be able to see military veterans reaching the health services with speed that is needed. In terms of the irregularities, in terms of the, let me not talk about irregularities outside of the audit. Let me speak within the audit framework. AG is the institution that is tasked to identify issues of irregularities, wasteful expenditure, and also in everyday meeting, we sit with the AG. They will have a section on their agenda that says, did the department get anything around fraud and corruption? What has happened in the past audit report, it raised some areas of irregularities. I think that's what the...
Can we defer the discussions on the AG's report? Because the matter would be coming up in the matter of 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
Let's deal with it in the context of the AG report that will be presented shortly.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. We will defer that one. But just to say that the member that has asked around the AG will take that question on that time, when that time comes. And then I think I would leave the rest of the issues with the other officials to take them up, and then we can be able to move. We'll do what the chair has advised us in terms of the AG reports.
DJ, but Mr. Mukhe's question was very specific, was just to say that you had a contract with one travel agency that was deemed irregular, and that he said you can't just simply walk away from it without following a due process. Was checking if due process was followed before you piggybacked on the other contract. And then the next question in relation to the other contract, he wanted to find out if he wanted to establish the process by which you, a department, can piggyback on another contract. His questions were in two parts.
All right, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, as I was saying, that those things are usually identified during an audit assessment time. So that travel agency was identified as irregular, and the relationship between the department and the travel agency was also supported by a legal opinion, which indicated that we definitely need to move away from that relationship. When we moved away from the relationship, the department cannot be left dysfunctional. We had to make sure that we look around, but within the framework of the law. We advertised, we had to advertise at the same time, but also we had to make sure that the department has got travel agencies that they can be able to work from. A couple of departments are using a company called Torvest, and they are piggybacking. That company was a bid that was done by the Department of Labor, and we have also seeked to piggyback. It's a legal framework that you piggyback on the existing contract. The department is currently using that travel agency that we piggyback, and we followed all the processes of piggybacking. It's not only DMV that is working with us with Torvest. We've got other departments that are working with Torvest as well, and that's how we came into the Torvest travel agents. The other matters, I will leave them I think there's a couple of matters that were raised. Let me give my colleagues other matters to be able to talk to, especially the issue of logis and the time frame. I will give the acting CFO to give those specifics, and we can be able to also to move the acting CFO to talk to the 91 million also that was raised, more or less all the financial matters, and we can move to other colleagues. Acting CFO, you can come in.
Good morning once again, Chairperson and members. In terms of logis, Chairperson, we have a beefed up capacity within the CM, which was mainly a stumbling block in terms of us achieving the full utilization and implementation of logis in the previous years. We have now since beefed up capacity, and according to the plan, we are supposed to do our first procurement on logis system effectively from tomorrow, literally on the 1st of September. That's according to the plan, Chairperson. And in terms of understanding, I concur with the member that we have underspent by 91 million, of which, Chairperson, that really talks to the APP targets that are not necessarily achieved. So hence, we have that underspending. I'm not aware of any other finance-related queries, but then I've left anything outstanding. I will take it, Chairperson. Thank you. I'll hand over then to my next colleague to respond to other matters affecting their areas. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Siango, take us through the issues of office and term operated by our
members. The first one, Chairperson and DG, is the issue of public works. What is the real problem there? I think the problem is the slow procurement processes that they do experience, because in our case, I think a couple of times, you know, when they had done procurement, you know, they had to, because they've got all these committees, the bid evaluation committee, the bid specification committee, bid evaluation committee, and also the adjudication committee. And then after that, then they have to go and get approval from Treasury on some of these things. So it's those committees that they go through that really delays, you know, everything. And what you normally would hear is that meetings sometimes get postponed or cancelled because diaries of members that are supposed to sit in those committees do not concur. So I think that's mostly, you know, the biggest challenge there. And then on the issue of the short-term leases and month-to-month, Chair, we don't intend. Because I think we did receive a legal opinion that was shared to us by DPW, or a directive by the minister, you know, DPW, where they no longer now entertain month-to-month contracts. So the intention really is not to go into month-to-month arrangements. We sign you know, leases for a certain period, which would be a contract for that particular period, where we're then going to, if we have not resolved the matter, you know, but the intention really is to resolve all those matters within that period of time. And we don't intend going into month-to-month contracts anymore, because we want to stay within the agreed and signed leases period. And then I think what DG has addressed the issues of the pension. And then and then the issue of coordination in municipalities. Chair, what we have picked up in the process that we have been undertaking in the presidential task team with the visits that we've been having, is the fact that there seems now to be something that is emergent, or an agreement between provinces, the departments, and municipalities, that provinces must have a coordinating structure within those provinces that is going to assist the department to really look at, and that coordinating structure must consist of military veterans together with provincial government departments, where it's going to look at to assist the department to better coordinate matters or issues of military veterans in the provinces. And we have seen some of the provinces, they've put this coordinating structure in place, and it is indeed in areas where, you know, we have been monitoring this, it has been working very well, where they would have quarterly sessions between military veterans and government, where they discuss, you know, matters, commitments that have been made by provincial government departments and municipalities in those coordinating structures. So I think that's why then the model has been emphasized so much in those visits, to the provinces by the PTT. I think I will stop there, Chairperson, because I think I've addressed the question of infrastructure, I mean of offices, the leases, and also the question of pension has also been addressed. Thank you.
Okay, I want to believe that you have covered all the questions. Is that so?
Chairperson, we were struggling around the question of the communication. I think it's for the best.
Oh yes, that, okay. I think that was for me. That was for me to deal with.
Yes.
No, that's fine. I would address that one. It's just that I don't know what Mr. Shilembo was talking about, but I understood him to be saying that he received a complaint from a member of the public, like I do. In my office, people walk with all sorts of complaints. They may be related to passport, to school, to health, and to everything. And what I do when I receive the complaint, I convey it to the department. And the expectation is for the department to address the complaint and inform me as to how the complaint is actually resolved. And then I thought he was saying that since the last time, it was in June, early in June, that he wrote to the DG bringing a complaint to her attention. Not even a letter of acknowledgement was in fact received. And he's actually complaining that KTSC demands that when a member, not even a member of public, but any member writes to you and you must acknowledge the letter. And if you, send it to someone who is in a position to deal with the thing and then communicate back to the author of the letter. I thought that was that is what Shilembo was talking about. It was basically not asking the department to account or anything, but he simply said, here is a military veteran. He came to me, he presented the problem, I now convey it to you. Is that what, have I understood you, Shilembo, correctly?
Yes, Chairperson. I mean, it's just, I think you have put it clear. That's what I was meaning, Chairperson. Not that I'm giving instruction to the department, but just, the acknowledgement to say, look, now, your issue now has been taken to the relevant person. I think I'm covered. That's all. Chair, that is worrying me if it takes so long, even for me to say. Because if I tell the person outside to say, look, I've tried myself, but I'm not getting any answer, it doesn't work well, Chairperson.
Yes, no, it's fine. As members of parliament, we do this every day when we receive complaints from the public. Thabo, you want to talk to this?
Yes, thanks, okay. Chair. I think the gist of the matter raised by Honorable Shilembo is wish the DG must come out clear, emanated from the fact that their call center is not really functional because there were calls made. Either the doesn't go through or there is no response. And in our last engagement with them, they have said they have moved to ensure that it is operational in that space. Now, if you receive such complaint and they complain to any one of us understanding that we operate within the space. It is not because we are special or whatsoever. It's because they understand that we are in the space, and when they come to us, their issues will receive the necessary attention it deserves. Then it becomes problematic if the DG then ignores letters from, even if it's from the public, because the intention is to assist the veterans to have accessibility to whatever services that they require from the department. If there is a stumbling block and there is no effectiveness and efficiency from the office of the DG, then it becomes a problem. They've got nowhere to run. Then their problems will never be resolved. Thank you.
Correct. You are right, Thabo, in saying what you have said. For example, we've dealt with these issues before. People say with the military veterans, we've written to the department and our letters have not been acknowledged. We don't know whether our application was turned down or not. And so we can't even start to lodge an appeal. And yet the law is very clear that the department must respond with a decision within 30 days is to enable the applicant to make a decision whether the reasons given justify appealing the decision or not. So it is in this context that we want our department to be responsive each time when they receive complaints, not even from the members of parliament, from the members of the public. We are appointed to serve, and serving means exactly that, to attend to each and every letter that is written to us, acknowledge it, and if the applicant has misdirected himself or herself, indicate in black and white when you write back that in actual fact you came to the wrong department. In your view, the matter should have been referred to a department X and Y. So that's the context in which we are raising this matter. We're dealing with a very small constituency, and it shouldn't be really difficult to deal with this issue. I mean, we have education that deals with millions of people. Here we're dealing with less than 30,000, and so shouldn't really be a difficult issue. And Dr. Pasop, you want to make a follow-up? I can see your hand.
Thanks, sir. No, I'm fine with the context under which we are discussing this matter, but I wanted to take it further, Chair. Here is the situation. A particular member of the committee is requesting an information from the department. I think you need to assist on that one as well. Because for me, whatever we want from the department, we're supposed to wire to your office. I can't just go to the department and request for information. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, you. This is a different matter, Dr. Pasopu, that Mr. Shedembe raised. So let's not deal with it. Expand its terms of reference. Let's deal with this as it's been raised. But I understand what you are, where you are coming from, and we'll deal with it as a separate matter. All right, DG, please deal with this before we release you on this item.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I said when we started to come into the meeting, that some of the things that are going to be presented to us, we will be able to respond and answer. Other ones will take them as comments and observations by our members, and we will find a way on improving on them. Since the DMV is a department that is meant for benefits and is outward looking, it's more or less to support the military veterans. It means we need to strengthen our customer service area and make sure also our IT is in place, and make sure we copy also from institutions like SARS. When you get to SARS, you receive your message on the phone immediately.
I do not want to put a whole blame totally on ICT, but ICT can be a very great vehicle for us as we are entering into that space as a department, so that when a query comes in, it's not dependent on a human being only. It might be able to be answered via an ICT system that talks to the person's phone who sends the query. I'm not going to answer. I welcome the issues that have been raised. If there's a specific issue, we usually go out and follow it up. I would like maybe outside of the meeting
DG, Mr. Shelembe was specific. I wrote you a letter in June, and you have not responded to the letter. And it doesn't say the letter was sent to some junior official and who has failed to escalate it to you due to systemic issues and so on. This says, I wrote the letter and addressed it to you. And you should actually be saying you it was an oversight and you respond to the letter.
Chairperson, to be specific, in the events that letters that come to the office, maybe directly to the email, I would usually pick them up and we send officials to follow up. My apologies on Mr. Shelembe's matter. I would like maybe to discuss the matter maybe outside of the meeting so that I can be able to follow up on that one. Some that we received, we indeed have followed up and made sure that the officials even visit those families that have been identified. This might have been, I might have missed it, and we can be able to follow up outside of the meeting, and we look at the specifics again, and we fix the matter. And that's how far with the Mr. Shelembe's matter I can be able to go.
No, it's fine. We can leave it at that, DJ. All right, colleagues, I think we've dealt with the first issues. Are there any outstanding questions or matters, colleagues, that have not been dealt with to your satisfaction before we move to the last presentation? It doesn't look like there's any. And can you quickly deal with the last presentation, DJ?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I should have Mr. Monty Makwanza on standby. Dr. Makwanza?
Good morning again, Chairperson and DG. DG and Mr. Makwanza is not on the platform. I'll be able to deal with the matter because I'm quite familiar with it.
Thank you, Dr. Siango.
Okay. Okay. I think the issues of the structure, Chairperson, of the department have long been outstanding, and we know that this issue has always been raised. And I think some of the challenges are well known in terms of, capacity and what had transpired back, when the department was formed. So what we have done, because really we have not been moving with this project for some time now. So we had to then go back and understand what has really been the issue, so that we systematically kind of, and based on the advices from TPSA and how other government departments do this kind of a process, we systematically also ask as a department enter into this. And I think also the guidance that we got from our ministry the other day, I think last financial year was for us as a department to seek a expertise that can assist us to move faster with this kind of information. So this background, I think it's important to say that we had then to go back and understand what really happened here, what is it that we need to do. So at some point, the PSA, when they started to assess the department, they did a survey on the department in terms of their operations management framework. And these were the findings that came through in that survey. That we, you know, the department has an implementation plan in place for service delivery model. We have service standards and service charter only. And, you know, there is limited departmental support and buy-in for development, implementation and maintenance of all building blocks, which are going to talk to how then building blocks in terms of the operations management framework. And in certain areas, what then that survey found out was that in some benefits or in some areas, there were standard operation procedures. In some areas, there were not. And you know, there was then...
Mr. Siango, I'm not sure if you are actually addressing the item that is on the agenda. This is operations management. It's a status report towards the implementation of the operations management framework or something. It's different from a briefing on progress to change your organizational structure and address the challenges, the capacity challenges within the DMV. Yeah, are we talking about the same thing?
Yes, Chairperson, because as part of us developing the structure, we there are these building blocks that form a suite in terms of the micro-organizational structure. I will talk to... Maybe let me talk to this chair, to this slide, where, or maybe let me just say, chair, this slide and this one, it really informs how we are then going to move forward in terms of coming to this particular slide, where now we are going to be talking in terms of the timelines and what we need to do to have the structure in place. Because, for example, as I indicated, Chair, that what we have done now is that early this year, based on the previous two slides, we had to then approach National Treasury Government Technical Advisory Center to assist us to put together a macro organizational structure, which was going to lead us into a micro organizational structure, and also then all those other processes in terms of business process mapping and standard operating procedures and things like that. So I felt that it would be useful for me to take the committee through that so that the committee has a full understanding and appreciation of the fact that we took a step back to understand what is really the problem, why are we not moving and putting together this structure. But however, Chair, I will maybe let me focus on this one then to say that what we have done then with GCAT is that since we have partnered with them, we have been having meetings, we had a lot of meetings with them in the first part of this year, based on the fact that we were revisiting all the mistakes that we've been making in the department in the past. And to the extent that we then, you know, commissioned interviews with officials in the department at some point, I think it was around March or so, where they collected a lot of information in terms of our business process mapping, what are the challenges, you know, what is it that we want to do, and all those kind of things. They gave us then an assessment report. It was, I think, in around April or May. That assessment report then, which was discussed with the Director General, because it had preliminary kind of information around what is the thinking in terms of reviewing or of the proposed service delivery model of the department, which was then going to inform the macro organizational structure. So then there was concurrence between CTEC and the DG in terms of what is it that we need to put in place? What changes do we need to put in place in terms of the macro organizational structure? So then the team from CTEC, the expertise from CTEC then went back and they did the macro organizational structure of the department. And part of that, chair and members, was also to look at the financial implications of that macro organizational structure. Because we need, when we are going to National Treasury and to DPSA, to also present those financial implications for consideration. They've done a costing model, which is then going to, inform what then is going to be the cost implications, going forward. So what we have since received the final report. We've since received the final report on the last week in terms of the micro-organizational structure and the costing model, which what we are going to do now, we are still processing that report, but which then completes the first part of what we wanted to do. What then we are going to do now after the first phase, which is what is done now, is we need to consult that first phase with the ministry as per the requirements. And then as part of our second phase now, which is something that we have started as part of analysis of the first phase, is to move now into the business process mapping and also to develop the macro organizational structure. Now, the micro now is going to talk to, if we're saying in the macro organizational structure, we need to have the program, socioeconomic support must be reconfigured. The micro organizational structure now is going to talk to what are the positions then that need to be attached to that reconfiguration. And it's going to talk to the issue of job evaluation of those positions that need to be attached to that. And we remember, Chair, at some point DPSA had assisted us to do some preliminary work. I think it was around 2018 or 2019 or so. So we are going to come revisit the work that they have done, because there was a lot of work that was done back there. Revisit that work and try and then and integrate it into this first phase that we have done through CTEC, so that then we're able by September to provide that micro organizational structure now, which is going to talk to what are the positions then that are going to be attached to the macro organizational structure in terms of how many directors do we need, how many DTGs, all those kinds of things. And how then do we structure provinces and things like that. So that work has already started because we were just brushing off what was done in 2019. So I think then on the issue of the staff morale, I think there are initiatives that are being put in place. For example, there is a committee, transitional committee, which seeks to deal with the culture and come up with plans to boost staff morale. I know that, for example, there have been in provinces there were challenges with regards to issues that provincial coordinators were reporting. So some of the HR practitioners now have been visiting provinces. I know that the issue of Free State and Northern Cape has been resolved to the extent that those offices now are going to be fully functional. And we know that in KZN also, we have recently appointed a provincial coordinator there in KZN. So we are dealing with matter of staff morale. I would like to end it there, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you very much. There was also a piece on the asset management Who was going to take us through that piece? In fact, it's an issue of assets verification. Movable assets.
Thank you, Sir President. We'll ask Siyango to reply to the asset management presentation, and acting CFO will take us through that. Mr. Siyango?
And just please focus on the issues that were flagged by the AG, the Auditor General, in relation to this matter.
Thank you, Chairperson and the members. Good morning once again. Mr. Siyong, can you please go to enable editing so that we can be able to move with the presentation? Can you please take me to slide 2? Right. Thank you, Chair. I have a hard copy next to me, and I would like the presentation controller to just move to slide number 2. This is just an overall presentation, Chairperson, of our units, of our assets in our asset register that as at 31st, March 2022, the total amount of our assets were 28 million, of which 120 individual assets were major assets and 24 were minor. And the total number in terms of the units in respect of our assets are just 144. Chairperson, you've got your specific requirement to say let us focus on AG inputs. On my second last slide, we are indicating the challenges as well as the findings raised by the AG. Chairperson, I just want to thank really the team led by Ms. Tindisa, who really assisted to keep an eye on the area of assets throughout the year. We have performed a physical asset count more than what the policy provided, and that really bears a fruitful outcome during the audit. If you go to the second last slide, we have only two exceptions relating to assets, and it had nothing to do with lost assets that could not be found, meaning that it was just housekeeping findings. The first exception related to
your slides are not moving. Can you ask the person who is managing your presentation to move the slides?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think now we are on the slide I was talking to in respect of the findings raised by the Auditor General, that the first one was such that the assets under investigation were not necessarily included on the financial statements. So it was just information that was already submitted as part of the asset register, but it was not carried through to the face of the financials, of which that was corrected in the sense that we took information as already submitted to the AG and we put through as part of the face of the financial statements. And secondly, the second exception in relation to assets, it was the fact that monthly asset reconciliations were not performed. There was a bit of a sort of a misunderstanding between the two parties here, of which we, according to the AG interpretation of our policy, was such that we should be doing the asset reconciliation on a monthly basis. However, according to our understanding, that paragraph relates to when we have a LOGIS system operating. LOGIS mainly addresses two areas within finance, which is asset management as well as procurement. As part of our policy, we indicated that as soon as we implement LOGIS, we will do monthly asset reconciliations. So that was the understanding of the department. However, on the side of AG, you know, they felt that we should be doing monthly recons even with the manual system that is currently in place. It was just that sort of misunderstanding between the two, of which we are indicating that the plan is to implement really LOGIS effective from the 1st of September. So these things will be addressed, because now there won't be a different understanding in you know, through various stakeholders. So that is the only two exceptions that we had, Chairperson, and really want to give credit to Ms. Tindisa for really leading this team to ensure that our assets in the department are taken care of and they are reported correctly. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Are you done with the presentations? I assume so.
Yes, I am done, Chairperson, but I'll take any further comments or questions emanating for the entire presentation.
No, it's fine. Colleagues, I invite your comments, questions on the last two presentations. So basically, you this portfolio committee said your department will fail to deliver on its mandate. Because the structure was not aligned to the service delivery model, and that you were required to do a restructuring and then address the systemic challenges within the department. So your presentation says that work is underway, and you're not telling us when the work will be completed, your project management plan. That's what we required or requested last time. When you are likely to have finalized the process. And we raised this point because the DPSA had been to the department to try and assist. But the information we got was that the department was not cooperating with DPSA. And in your presentation, you're saying that from the work conducted by GTEC and the interviews done with members of staff, you are yet to consult the work that was produced by the DPSA, that the department, that your members of staff simply walked away from. That made them to wash off their hands and left the department. because the department was really not cooperating. As for them, this matter would have been addressed long time ago. So have you produced a project management plan that takes us right till the end, to the end result? That would be my question.
And mine is up, Chair.
Oh, yes. Sorry, Mr. Mutler's hand is up. My apologies. I understand it now, Thabo. Over to you, sir.
All right. Thanks, Chair. With regard to the established transformational committee, which the presentation indicates that it seeks to deal with culture and boost the morale of the staff. How far has the committee gone, and what are the positives of this committee since its establishment to date? I'm asking this necessarily because we know that there's still a challenge in terms of filling vacancies in that department. And if vacancies are not filled, it means those that are there need to go work, go an extra mile in ensuring that the institution is able to deliver as expected or as envisaged in the organizational structure. They need to close the gap. And in so doing, I think it is inherent that one would then have developed interest and expectation to progress within the ranks or hierarchy of the organization when those opportunities are available. Therefore, if nothing is done to address that then demoralizes employees. They will then see no need for them to put extra effort if those efforts are not recognized in one way or another. Therefore, my question will be around the work done so far and its impact in the organization. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mutler. Please comment. I invite you to teach it.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe let me start with the last one on the transformational committee. We are already beginning to see the impact, as I indicated, that what our approach here was to start looking at fixing the provincial offices. Because there what we understood was that there were personal challenges between the officials, you know, that were working in the provinces, to the extent that you know, the work of the department was really suffering. So we started with Northern Cape and Free State, and we really went in hard to resolve the matters of those officials there. To the extent that those matters have been resolved in the sense that we have agreed with those officials that one of the most progressive resolutions was to actually move those officials around, which is something that we had agreed, we all agreed on as part of the intervention. Because there were really some issues that we felt that were not easy to resolve because they really became two personal matters between those particular individuals. And then we intend then going to, because there's a couple of these challenges in other provinces, so we plan then we were intending to go to Eastern Cape and also Limpopo to kind of seek similar, you know, kind of interventions. Well, it may differ, though, of course, from province to province based on the investigation that we do. Internally in the department, what we have begun to do now, Chairperson, is that on issues, there are a lot of grievances in the department by officials on certain things, on different various things. So through that committee, we have been, you know, because of we want these, some of these things, we do them internally in certain extent where we are really feel that they're either sensitive issues or we don't want to compromise these matters. We normally just ask our counterparts from other departments to come and assist us to deal with some of these matters, and then they would provide us with recommendations. So there's been some investigations that we have requested or commissioned either by us internally or by our sister departments officials who are labor relations experts. So then once then we get those recommendations, we would then put in place or recommend interventions with those particular officials. I think that's the approach that we're taking, Chairperson and members. Then on the issue of the timelines or project plan for the structure, with those two slides, I tried to, there is a project plan that we have tried to put in place, but it is at a macro level in terms of the specific outputs that we would want to get. I think for the current financial year, we really want to for the current financial year, we want to put in place, well, which is something that we have done with GTEC. We have reviewed the service delivery model, which is something that we are going to adopt now as part of management response to that report. We are going to be doing a business process mapping, and also we are going to review some of the old SOPs in the department. That's the plan that we're going to do for this year. And then also, as I indicated earlier in the presentation, that we want by September of this financial year, of this year, to have developed a microstructure and the final costing model that we are going to be submitting to National Treasury and to DPSA for their advice and consideration. So that's the kind of project plan that we have put in place. And of course, we then that process then is going to be driven through our ministry, because we need now, after we've considered this first phase, consult with our ministry. And then we get guidance in terms of how we then move forward towards finalizing that micro-organizational structure. I think that's the project plan that we have in mind, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Thank you very much. Colleagues, I Thabo, you want to make a follow-up?
Yeah, Chair. I don't think my question was answered sufficiently, because my understanding is that conflict management is part and parcel of HR responsibilities to deal with. Now, there's a committee here called Transformational Committee. And I want to believe that its mandate is to transform the culture and ensure that the morale of the staff in the department, not only in those provincial offices, in the entire department, from headquarters to the last office in every corner of this country, to ensure that they inculcate the correct culture and ensure that the morale of the staff within the department is such that they are able to execute their work effectively and efficiently without any hindrance whatsoever. So my question is not on conflict resolution that they have embarked on. It's on the positives of that committee, or that committee has registered so far. They should be able to say the operation previously in terms of culture was like this, and since the establishment of this committee, this is the positives that we are seeing, and this is the cultures that we have been expecting, and is beginning to be practical within the department. Not conflict resolution, it's something else. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, sir. Thanks.
My understanding, Chair, is that when you talk, you speak transformation, you speak change. You don't speak necessarily conflict.
Yes. Can I get the responses?
Chairperson, I can assist as well from the angle of the department in terms of looking at the I wouldn't blanketly say at the moral, I would say at the overall operational space of the department, including human resource, and of course the mandate and the policies, which are very crucial, and how we run ourselves as government officials. I would say within this transformation committee, there's a lot that has to be done. Of course, it's not going to be a once-off exercise. It does include elements that are also prescribed by the DPSA on how we should be able to work as colleagues. There are areas that we look into in terms of ethics of public servants, which contains the Batupile principles, of course. And the Transformation Committee would also be looking at those areas. I think the chairperson made it quite clear that issues of change management must be there. Issues of team buildings, it is stipulated by the DPSA, and that committee will definitely be following those areas to ensure that we are speaking in one voice as public servants who are there to service the people and the public. Of course, our Constitution Chapter 10 talks to us as public administration and how we should conduct ourselves. It is important for the committee to note that there is historical things that had to be addressed as well, so that we move forward with the same pace or with the same structured organization like other organizations. The department, I think that's what Mr. Siengo has been referring to, that we have been attending to those historical challenges, especially they started with the provinces, and they are smoothing out, and we are seeing some clear understanding of how the provincial coordinator should be working internally, but we also focusing outwardly to the military veterans as our beneficiaries. Indeed, also the history has been clustered with issues of post matching and skills matching, and the department in areas where we pick that up, that we can be able to do it via the HR section, we are able to do that and smoothing it out. There are still some that are left that still need to be resolved. And where we need and expect from another department in HR or DPSA to assist us, we have called on to that assistance from those departments. It is not something that we can do it, but from the look of the morale, you also deal with it in terms of projects. We have got a lot of exciting projects that the department has embarked on where we work as teams. And we have seen colleagues starting to participate in those teams, and we've also seen some results in terms of the performance. And I would like to say, if we look at strategic issues like working on audits, submitting information, the colleagues have been participating positively, and it has resulted in terms of reduction, in terms of mistakes, in terms of our audit exercise. From my side, I think the department is growing from strength to strength. We have pockets of challenges where the committee has made us to focus on, like customer service. We'll be strengthening ourselves in those areas. We will definitely look at the areas that the members have raised in terms of staff relations and staff morale. But from where we are sitting, we've put up a solid structure for the colleagues to be able to go and report if there's challenges that they are facing that are not fair. But of course, we won't take it by word of mouth. We'll make sure that we investigate. So what is the reason, and if the it benefits the official, that benefit will be definitely given, but based on a research that will be put into that particular complaint. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you very much, colleagues. I think we have exhausted the discussion, unless I'm wrong, but it doesn't look like there's any hand on the system anymore, any longer. A clear indication that we have concluded the discussions on the presentation. Of course, we'll be meeting the department very soon to deal with the AG matters, and of course, and other matters as well pertaining the performance of the department. Be that as it may, let me thank the DG and the team for answering, for presenting today and dealing with all the questions that members raised. And I wish them well as they do their job going forward. Thanks, DG. Thanks to your team. We can then let you off the system. Yes, as we take the presentation on the last item. Thank you very much, DG.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the members. Thank you to the colleagues. And goodbye, Chairperson.
Thank you. The last item is the minutes, I think. Mukhe, is your hand up? Are you wanting to say something?
No, Chair, it's a legacy hand, but maybe it's just a thought that out of the responses that we got from this department, that we just dealt with, that maybe in future when we do site visit, like we did with soldiers on their morale, we interacted with the troops themselves. Maybe if an opportunity avails, we must also engage staff at lower level at the department so that we are able to balance the views from the reports we get from the management and the lower staff at the within the department, because they are the ones who are executing a day-to-day operation of the department. I'm just pondering that view to be considered in future. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. No, that is not it, Mr. Mulder. We can now move to the next item. Right, so these are the minutes of the 24th of August. I will then ask Brian to take us through them, to show us page by page. Please indicate if there are any changes or corrections you want to raise. Thanks, Brian. All right, colleagues, these are the minutes. If there are no corrections to be effected, is there any support for the minutes? Mover and a seconder? Yes. Is this your hand?
I move, Chair, for the adoption. Chair,
Mr. Mutle moves for adoption. Any seconder?
Ms. Lekwase, Chair.
Ms. Lekwase seconds. Colleagues, I think we've dealt with all the items. Am I correct, Brian?
That's correct, sir.
Yes. It remains for me to thank all of you for your contribution and sustaining our oversight on this department. Yes, there are challenges. You can see it. The department is not achieving at all. It's seriously underachieving. By its own admission, it's achieved under 50% of the target it set for itself. And the budget was reduced because the department was not spending. 100 million rand was taken away from the department, even with that cut, it still failed to spend its budget. It recorded an under expenditure of 91 million rand. And Dr. Pazopo was right to say that this is a misconduct in the face of all the challenges that we see every day, but they still underspend. They still fail to spend the entire budget. It's a serious concern. But of course, there's nothing we can do. Only the political head of the department can really tighten the screws. We can only say what we are saying, put pressure on them, but unfortunately, we can't make them do it. That's because, yeah. All right, colleagues, let's leave it at that for now, and then until we meet again. Thank you so much. Safe trip to Parliament.
Thank you, Chair.